Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks. We're two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my operations officer, Frank. How are you today, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
I salute you.
Thank you that we did not salute in Starfleet, but thank you for doing so.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can continue to call me sir.
Okay, yeah. Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
No, I'm just kidding. They salute in Starfleet. Just kidding. We don't salute on the good ship, pod ship.
Ah, yeah.
Pod ship, it's the perfect pod ship.
Yeah.
Just like friendship.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Friendship, it's the perfect bland ship. Do you ever see that episode of I Love
Lucy?
Yeah. Where they start ripping the dresses off
each
other.
And they wear the same dress. Yeah,
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 it's a good episode. Yeah, I never liked it when Lucy and Ethel fought, though.
It's always sad.
It's fine when Lucy and Ricky fight.
They always fight.
It's fine when married couples fight. But best friends, that's sad.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. We're drinking a very special beer. We're drinking the same one.
We are.
To celebrate my birthday.
We are celebrating your birthday. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you very much.
And it cheers you early just because it's your birthday.
Thank you very much.
Right,
that
yeah.
was a good cheers.
That was a good cheers.
What are I don't even know what we're drinking. You just poured it for me.
We are drinking Southern Tier Blackwater Series Chocolate Imperial Stout.
It's very good. It's very
delicious.
It's
beer.
Very chocolatey.
Very chocolatey. Yeah. It's Imperial Stout brewed with chocolate and natural flavor.
It's good. I don't really go in for chocolate beers a lot, but I'm really enjoying this.
It's really, really good. Chocolate malt, bittersweet Belgian chocolate. It's, yeah, this is a really good one. I'd never tried this before, but it's kind of a little bitter, but like medium
bitter. It's like a dark chocolate.
Yeah, dark chocolate. Yeah.
It's not a milk chocolate beer. Right. It's a dark chocolate beer.
Belgian dark chocolate. Yeah, it's really good. It's very, very good. I'm quite happy with it. We thought we're having a little dessert beer to celebrate your birthday. And
just like Captain Kirk celebrated his birthday recently.
Whoa! I did not even do that on purpose, but it worked out.
I know. That was the only reason that I said it was my birthday, because I caught the connection when I was
introducing the show. Much like Captain Kirk, you're not really a big birthday guy.
I'm not a big birthday guy. You know, it's just a day, you know, and I'm one day older than George Kirk ever was. Yeah.
Pour one out for George
Not
Kirk.
My father, who is still alive.
No.
Yeah.
No, your father is very much alive.
He's very much alive and definitely has reached past the age that I am now.
Yes. And past the age of George Kirk.
Yes, very good.
So Star Trek Beyond came out.
Yes, a while back now. We had some Comic-Con news to get through.
We had to get through it all, but we promised a few weeks ago that we would come. We talked about Star Trek
just about a week ago, actually.
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We promised that we would get to Star Trek Beyond when we got a chance. So here we are.
Yeah.
We've both seen it now. And
I've actually seen it twice.
Oh, cool.
Now.
Good. Yeah. I just saw it yesterday as we record this. So
okay. I saw it.
It's pretty fresh for me.
I saw it opening Thursday, opening mm-hmm. night, as my customary movie. And a friend of mine, it was like 95 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And he was like, I really don't want to mow my lawn. And we had talked about going to see Star Trek, and I was like, well, we could go still see Star Trek as per our original plan instead of you mowing the lawn. He was like, oh my God, you're so right. Let's do that. And so instead of sweating his butt off and dying mowing his lawn,
there
we sat in a cool theater and watched Star Trek.
So what was your overall impression?
I really liked it. I don't think it's as good as the 2009 reboot. I think it's better than Into Darkness, but I think the action in Into Darkness is better than Star Trek Beyond, but I think the story and the characters are better in Beyond than. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think Beyond has. They're the most true to the original characters than they've ever been.
Mm.
But I think the original film, but that 2009 film was still my favorite.
I don't know if we've ever agreed so much as we do. Really? On this. I agree so completely with everything you just said.
Well, that doesn't make for interesting radio, but
well, let's talk about it. I thought it was a really, really fun movie.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a really fun Star Trek movie.
It's a lot of fun.
It felt like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but a long episode of the original series.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Not meaning too long, not meaning, it was a well-paced...
It was like a two-parter. It was like the Menagerie part, yes, one and two.
Right.
Is that an episode?
It is.
Yes.
It felt like just a two-hour-long, well-paced episode of the original series. Like, yeah. It felt like a plausible Star Trek original crew story.
Yeah.
And I agree. It was a better story than Into Darkness. Maybe the action wasn't always as good, but the characters in the story were solid.
They were solid.
And true to form...
Yeah, very. Well done. They did not go against the Prime Directive once.
They did not. They actually did not. I can't think of a single time that they did.
I think that is really my, because if you go against the Prime Directive, I mean, like, Kirk goes against it and sometimes and whatever else. But
he does it all the time.
But if Spock goes against the Prime Directive,
yeah,
it all falls apart.
Right. Because Spock is held to a higher standard when it comes to those things.
And he does not. And I think this movie shines with some characters that others were kind of, like, Carl Urban's Bones was kind of regulated. Dr. McCoy was kind of regulated to a very small part in Into Darkness.
That's right.
Where he was given quite a bit to do in this film. Carl Urban almost didn't come back.
That's right.
Yeah. For this film, and it was talking to, Justin Lin, the director, and to
Simon Pegg,
and he was like, okay, you know, this is because he had another project lined up, mm-hmm. and he, you know, is like, maybe I shouldn't come back. And then when he got to set, he said, oh no, I made the right decision. Yeah, this would have been a mistake not to be here. Because they clearly like each other.
Oh yeah,
they have superb chemistry.
Yeah,
the whole cast.
Yeah, the whole like core cast. Yeah,
there's that last shot. Spoilers for the whole film. There's that last shot where they're in the end, like, they're all holding their drinks in their civilian clothes,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And they look like a real group of friends
having a real party.
Right, exactly. Like It didn't feel like actors on a set. It felt like friends gathered for a party.
That's right.
Or even colleagues gathered for a mm-hmm. party, because that's what I guess they are.
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, when you spend 3 years plus out in space, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the beginning of the movie. He talks about the relationships on the Enterprise, for better or for worse. You know, these things happen.
Right.
So true.
Yeah. It was very evident that they were friendly, that they were friends, and they had a good rapport with one another. Let's talk a little bit about, let's kind of go through the story a little bit, and as we go along, talk about the characters.
Yeah, okay.
So, beginning of the story, we got Kirk. He's on that planet. He brings that...
A little box that they don't know is a weapon. Yeah, they know it's a weapon, but it's like, they don't know what kind of weapon. Yeah.
He brings it to that alien race. They freak out, right? So they end up on the ship.
Which was so funny.
So it was, and it was so, again, a so original series where, like, Captain Kirk is on a mission and he's trying to do this thing and whatever. And the forced perspective of, like, those aliens up on high, these giants up on high, forced, and they come down and they're tiny. They're up to his ankle,
so
the little ankle biters.
Tiny. I love it. But I love when they beam him back and he's like, I ripped my shirt again.
I know.
He's so upset.
I died at that. Yeah. Like, how many times does Shatner rip his shirt?
Right. And my friend is a much larger Star Trek fan than myself. I asked him what he thought of this movie, and his response was Star Trek Beyond fan service. And he didn't mean that as a negative thing, but he just felt like they went
beyond
what it was to be fan service and what it meant to just be Star Trek.
Right. But it wasn't heavy handed. Like, it was, if you didn't get the jokes, it was fine. If you didn't know that
William Shatner ripped his shirt in almost every episode being Captain Kirk,
didn't matter.
It didn't matter, because that joke is still funny.
Right.
Right. That's exactly right. And I like that the film also started with Captain's Log.
That's right. It did.
Like an episode, Captain's Log. This is where we are and this is what we're doing, and it's good.
And similar to Into Darkness, where it began like sort of in the middle of a mission right? Like, it's just very much like an right. episode. Or like,
yes, yes, yes.
Like, we're starting in the middle of the action in media res, right? Like, let's just jump right into it.
Throwing out all the film terms today. It's I know. Very good.
I went to college.
Yeah.
Just like in the middle of the action, in the middle of the story. And yet they found a way to do something that was both like, oh, it seems like it's like the beginning of a Bond film, right? Where it's the end
cold,
of the previous
cold, open.
Cold open.
Yeah.
End of the previous mission going into the mission.
Yeah.
But it linked in because yes, of that relic.
Yes. Which you didn't think it would
you didn't
link
think
in.
It would.
Well, I mean, if you know storytelling, you can kind of assume.
But they could have very well have just had that not meeting.
Sometimes Bond's cold open do link to the regular story. Spectre, the previous...
Skyfall.
Yeah,
exactly.
We got to get the list of people.
Right,
yeah,
right,
that's a link.
That's
yeah.
a good example. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And then it linked out where we had the little ankle biter people.
Yeah,
one of them showed up at the end of the movie in that cocktail party.
Yeah, I love that. He was like, I can't remember what he called it, but he was like, it's still not wearing pants. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. That was actually Chris Pine's idea.
He ad-libbed that.
Yeah.
Or not ad-libbed, but, no,
but he thought it was, he thought it would be funny if it looped back together.
Yes.
And so going back to what I said in a previous episode about how much I love Chris Pine,
mm-hmm.
guy's just great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great. Yeah.
So Spock logs this thing that the, those little guys don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And it like, it gets intercepted, taken out of their system,
yes.
Because the bad guy Krall is looking for something like it. Some of the Krall stuff is a little unexplained. Like, how does he get into their system? How does he know?
It's true. It is true.
I would assume because, I mean, like I said, spoilers for this whole thing, so I'm going to spoil the end.
Because
he was part of the Starfleet, I would assume that he's been
access.
Like scanning for Starfleet systems and stuff like that. I would just assume that I kind of assumed a lot and it just made sense.
It didn't matter.
There are movies where the bad guy's motivations or his not mechanics, but I guess his like how he does things.
Yeah.
They need to be explained.
Yes.
And then there are others which they do not matter. And this is because his motivation was so clear.
That's it.
And I like
the technology doesn't matter because it's whatever. It's Star
also,
Trek.
It's the future. It doesn't matter.
It's Star Trek technology that for some reason Starfleet technology was intercepted, the encryption, whatever.
Right.
Doesn't matter. You know, if it's Lex Luthor and Batman v Superman, you want to know, wait, why did he do this, blah, blah, blah. But if it's this, it's like, it's the future, it's fine.
That's where you get trapped. That's sometimes where films or stories can trap themselves in the real world, because then you have to explain things.
When they try to explain too much, there's a fine line of explaining too much and explaining enough. And this did the right job of explaining enough, and I didn't even really think about, like, well, how did the technology... It doesn't matter.
Right.
It just exists.
Well, because I think...
The same way you can transport people. Like, it just exists.
I think Simon Pegg, in his script, did a really good job at... making this about the characters, because even the cold open for the film is not an action beat, like, really.
Not really.
I mean, he gets attacked by those little guys, but then he kind of just like spins and then he just gets beamed up and that was that.
Right. It's not really about the action. It's about
and then it slows down.
Yeah.
And then it's about him, celebrating his birthday in a few days, and and Chekhov is not a vodka guy like they thought.
Yes.
Okay, this is bad. I'm going to say this is bad.
Okay.
So Anton Yelchin passed away very sadly. Yep. It was very sad to watch him in this film.
He's
a very good actor.
Yes.
Passed away too soon. The first mention of him is Bone saying, I stole this from Chekhov's locker.
Okay.
And my first thought was, you stole from a dead man. Even though, you know what I mean? Like, it just crept into my head and it wouldn't leave. And now I've seen the movie twice and it was there both times.
Aww.
And now it's going to be in the head of everyone who watches this movie.
Oh, well.
And it's just like, it's such a bad way to bring the character, like this, to mention the character first.
Yeah,
but
well.
What are you going to do? I like Kirk's. It's funny because sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, you're upset, whatever, blah blah blah, I don't care.
Sure.
It worked in this film.
Yeah.
Because Captain Kirk did not mature from Star Trek to Into Darkness at all. Like, he was still like, I'm Captain Kirk, I'm with the ladies and I'm
things.
That's hey, how's it going? I'm Captain Kirk. I'm First Officer Kirk. Now I'm Captain Kirk again. Whatever. He felt more like Captain Kirk in this film than he's ever felt.
Instantly.
Yeah.
In the big, from the very beginning, because it's been 3 years. Because it's been 3 years on his 5 year mission.
Yeah. Which is nice. Right in the middle. He's having a crisis. You know, like, I've been out here. It's directionalist. I'm out here too long. He's still young.
Yeah.
Like, he's a young captain.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, sure. Like, Captain Kirk's what? 31?
Yeah. I mean, he's a young guy. Yeah. He's a young guy. Maybe. Young for a, maybe an almost vice admiral, too.
Right. Yeah. And so they go to Yorktown, which I thought was a great name.
Great name. They're so good at that. In the whole franchise, it's always good names of, like, you know, historical figures and this kind of stuff. Like, I love that it was called, the space station was called Yorktown.
It was a really cool looking space station.
It was,
like,
yeah.
Really, really nifty.
Something I never thought
kinda
of.
Kind of like a, like this, like, in between.
The upside down stuff where, like, literally on one side of a surface, the buildings are going upward and the buildings are going downward, and the gravity, the fake gravity is going both ways, and the buildings are sideways, like, perpendicular to one another, because you can do that because it's all artificial gravity anyway, right. So it doesn't matter. I thought that was so smart, and I'd never thought of that.
They did that in Elysium.
Oh, really? I didn't see
Matt
that.
Matt Damon.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty good. You'd actually probably really like it, because it's very sci-fi. Mm. It was good. I didn't love it, but I mean, you like District 9, right?
I did like
Then you'd probably like Elysium. It's okay. The same as Neil Blomkamp. So,
Oh, that's the other Blomkamp film. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Besides Chappie.
Yeah.
But the Elysium is that same idea. It's like the artificial gravity. And I think this is like a steroided out version, but
I remember the commercials for that. I remember the trailers for that now. Yes. That did look like something I wanted to see.
I'm not calling it a ripoff. It's probably not. It's a great idea. Yeah. Go ahead and take it and expand it. I think it worked better in this film than
in Star Trek.
I think it worked better in Star Trek than it did in Elysium.
Okay. Cool.
The one in Elysium felt very small, and this one felt like
this expansive. Scale,
like, you might never meet the people on the other side of the space station, so large.
You know what's funny? So now Into Darkness was a revisiting of a lot of the themes and a lot of the, not even themes, but a lot of the stuff, a lot of the plot points from Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
Right? That's no secret.
Right.
But this, I felt like, was a revisiting of some of the themes of Wrath of Khan. In particular, the age thing.
One year old. Oh, because he's celebrating his birthday in there. He gets a Tale of Two Cities. Is that the book that Spock gives him?
Yeah, I can't remember what book it is, but it may have been.
I will use my one look
it
up.
It may have been. All right, use it. Yeah, so you know and it was consistent that, like, he doesn't like his birthday, he doesn't like talking about it, not in the same way, because in Wrath of Khan it's because he's old and he doesn't want to feel old, but just the you know, it's an alternate universe, but it's still the same person. He's still starting from the same place, so he has some of the same characteristics, and that includes him not liking his birthday and not liking thinking about aging.
Is Tale of Two Cities.
But it is. Okay. Good, yeah. Good call. Good pull. But also, I love that it's the consistency of, like, the moving on thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the, like, Admiral Kirk, and will he, you know, he decides not to be Admiral Kirk ultimately in this one. And, you know, like, and Spock's, like, will he move on to complete Ambassador Spock's work or not?
Yeah,
Those themes are kind of...
I didn't really, for whatever reason, I didn't expect them to talk about the death of Ambassador Spock.
You know, it didn't occur to me either that they would. I thought that they would just pretend, oh, he's off on, you know, New Vulcan or whatever, doing his thing, and, like, there's no reason for him to come back.
Right.
But I forgot that he did make another appearance in Into Darkness.
Yes, he was on the video screen.
So it makes sense, I guess, that they would, like, feel like they needed to address it, if for no other reason than a tribute to Leonard Nimoy, to sort of say, like,
it was such an intricately woven plot point.
It was.
Particularly, like, with his death makes Spock question, you know, like, maybe, you know, I think this thought came before the death of Ambassador Spock, but, you know, like, Spock thinking, like, maybe I should, you know, sire some Vulcan babies because I'm an endangered species and I should do that. And
I have a responsibility.
I don't like that very much, which is kind of selfish of her, but totally makes sense. I'm totally on her side.
Right.
You know, it was, everybody also had something to do.
That's so true. I felt like Uhura is typically very underutilized.
Yeah. This film, I think she was a little also underutilized in this film. If I had to pinpoint anybody who was underutilized.
Agreed. She is the least used out of the whole crew, but more than she was in the last movie.
Yeah. I think she was underutilized in Into Darkness. She was very heavily featured in the first Star Trek, which is what I always think of.
Featured, but was she really, like, she was in it a lot, But was she really, like, doing anything, or was she
intercepted that Romulan...
Transmission.
Transmission.
Right.
And, you know, and all that stuff, but...
But it was like that was her one moment of glory, sort of.
And she saves Spock at the end of Into Darkness.
You're right, you're right. I forgot about... You know what? Yes, I completely... Yeah. Yes, you're completely right.
Yeah, and she beams in and does... She has a lot of scenes with Krall
In this movie.
Yes.
So in this movie, I felt like they made better use of her than they have before.
Yeah.
Still not enough.
No, not enough.
Still not enough. But more and moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. Ensemble pieces are tough.
Yes.
Because you want to service everybody in some way.
But I like that they were clearly making an effort, even in little things where the things that they gave her were... Like, even at the very, 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 very end of the movie when the whole crew shares the Space the Final Frontier thing.
She has the end.
And she gets to say to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yeah, right.
That was significant that they had.
I thought so.
You know, a woman and a person of color saying where no one has gone before.
She also saves Spock again in this film.
That's
because
right.
he beams down to save her and he gets stuck. And she's like, what are you doing here? And she was like, well, obviously I'm here to save you.
Right. Right.
Head tilt.
It felt a little bit, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah. Aren't you a little short for a Vulcan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even like Anakin, like, then we decided to rescue you.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel a little like that. So Krall gets this transmission after Yorktown and all this stuff. And, you know, they go into the nebula with the woman who says she was trapped.
Yeah.
And, you know, my ship's here. Oh, this is a planet. I'm like, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Woman who looks like you belong on Face Off. Her makeup. Like, looked like latex to me.
It did, yeah. But you know what? It looked very Star Trek. Like, it looked in keeping with the tradition of Star Trek creatures.
Yes, that's true, but I think... But everyone else's makeup was awesome.
It looked better, yeah.
And
right,
she looked
right.
like I could, like, poke it. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to, like, poke her neck and be like this
Alf.
Is not real.
Yeah.
I thought she was... Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
I don't disagree.
And so Krall and his minions attack to get the little weapon. Do you feel like the Enterprise getting destroyed is like a thing that got destroyed again, like whatever.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, okay, I guess it's time to do that story now. Like, you know,
that's funny because normally I feel that way. You know, blow up the damn ship. No! That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
But I didn't feel it in this movie because it's a big setup for them to get stranded on the planet for a very particular purpose.
Yeah.
And I mean, it gets rebuilt at the end of the movie in a little lightning speed way.
I mean, I didn't feel bad about it. I mean, to be fair, I knew about it going into the movie.
Right. Because it was all the trailers. Yeah.
So, like... Knowing that, I was like, oh, like, okay. The first movie was the origin story, right?
Right.
The second movie, it was like, oh, I guess it's time to do Khan again.
Right.
And this time it was like, oh, I guess it's time to blow up the ship again.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like they don't have to, but they in a way they have to pay homage to like, okay, how can we do this, hit the same beats that happened in the old timeline? But do them again and reimagine them in this new timeline.
Right.
They did it not so imaginatively with Khan. They did it much more imaginatively this time.
Well, because, you know, normally, like, when stuff like this happens in any film or TV show, they're like, oh, this looks dangerous. We should try to stick it out for a little while and see if we can make it. But this movie, he's like, nope, get us out of here. This is terrible.
Which was like a very mature Kirk, right? Who's been through different experiences. And
right.
It's like, oh, no, I'm calling this. Get us out of here.
Yeah, it's like...
Warp us out of here.
Yeah, he's like, nope, this is not going to be good. And, but by that point, like, and that was right away. He was like, nope, red alert, shields.
Yep.
Go, like, we need to leave.
It was right away, and it was already too late.
And it was already too late. That's what I really enjoyed about the destruction of the Enterprise. It didn't feel needless. It felt like an actual threat. Arguably, the only time... There was any sense of danger in this film. I didn't think that the action in this film after the ship crash felt in any way like, oh no, are they going to get caught? They're definitely not.
Yeah. That's true. I guess, okay. So, like, so they, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we
can keep going, we'll but, there, but, yeah. So they crash on the planet. And everyone gets separate, and everyone is separated. I like the little groups that everyone gets separated into. I like Uhura and Sulu together. Yeah. I like Chekov and Kirk together.
That was a cool one. That was
not a combination you see a lot.
No, it really wasn't. I liked seeing that.
I liked Scotty with
Jayla.
I almost called her Jada, and I was like, it's close but not quite. Who we'll get to in a second, and Bones and Spock together, mm-hmm. which was the treat of the film.
That was the treat of the film.
Yeah. Because Bones is my favorite. We've talked about Bones is my favorite. And so, and I really like Carl Urban, too. And right. so, it's just like a treat to watch both of them together.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was great. But going back, so Scotty's on his own, and he meets Jayla, who is played by Sophia Patella, who was the peg-legged assassin in Kingsman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually going to play the villain, the Mummy, in Universal's reboot of their Universal Monster movies.
Oh.
She's playing the villain, and Tom Cruise is playing the guy that stops.
Did
her.
Not know she was going to be in that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
she's really, a really good actress.
Yeah, she is very good. Yeah. She seems, one, very athletic, but two, mm-hmm. I think she seems versatile, and I like Jayla. Her makeup was tremendously cool looking.
So cool.
I loved it. I was listening to an interview, and they were talking about how they would all be hanging out, like all the actors would be hanging out at 1 o'clock in the morning, like just like after a day of work, and she'd be like, "Whoop, I gotta go get makeup ready.
Oh God.
See you later." 5 hours of makeup for that. 5 hours.
Wow.
And cause, Zachary Quinto was like, "Man, I thought mine was bad."
Yeah.
Used to be 3 hours.
Yeah.
Now it's down to like 1 hour and 50.
Oof. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got it really down.
With the ears and all that?
Yeah. Question. If you had to be stuck with Spock's hair or Spock's eyebrows the rest of your life, what would you do?
Spock's hair.
Spock's hair, right? Because you can kind of pass that off as like, oh, just don't style it.
Yeah.
But Spock's eyebrows.
Yeah. Plus I'm bald, so stuff. Like,
you're just like, I'll just get some hair. Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. See, I have all my hair.
Right. So I'm like, okay, I could deal with having hair again. That's fine.
Yeah, even if it's in a little weird.
Eyebrows, but. I got eyebrows. I'm good on eyebrows. I got those.
Yeah, got them in space.
I got them in space.
You got like 6 or 7 of them.
I got like, a bunch. I got some in places you can't even see.
Yeah, right. You're very very emotive all over your body.
All over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, and so they all kind of, everybody kind of goes through there, you know, like we're finding out different pieces of the puzzle.
Mm.
But I like how they all come together knowing different bits. Like it only all makes sense once they all come together again.
Yeah.
I also, Kirk hid the device inside the alien's head, the Starfleet officer's head.
Yes.
It opened up, which was A, super gross. Because it looked like giant spider. It's just like, it looked like a spider.
It was kind of gross, and I guess. But
it was cool,
yeah.
But it was gross.
All right, yeah.
My friend, who said he was a big Star Trek fan, texted me after he saw the movie, and he was like, Kirk definitely knew that was there from Kinky Night. He definitely knew that.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. But did you notice that Chekov was kind of the ladies' man in this movie?
Yeah, he was.
Because Kirk's captain. You really can't be going around to the crew and being like, I'm Captain Kirk.
Right.
You know?
But he, you're right, because it was Chekov that we saw getting kicked out of that woman's room at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And then at the end, he's like, did you know that the little old lady invented scotch in Russia?
That's right.
Not many people know this,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
But the Führer was descended from a long line of English queens.
Yeah. He had the lines. He had the moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He was a little quirky.
Little ladies man.
Yeah, a little ladies man. Sadly. No
Not
more.
Bad for a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I don't know how old he was supposed to be in this movie. Kidding. Definitely in his 20s now. Yeah. Well,
he was 17 in the first one. 17!
Oh, 17, sir. Well, it's already been...
at least three.
A year, and then like it's been like 4, maybe 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's in his early 20s, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
17, sir. That's right. I forgot about that. Anyway, so they all like have their bits, and they discover that, you know, Jayla's living on the USS Franklin, which was one of the first ships to go out.
Right.
Now, I'm not a big enough Star Trek guy to know this, but do you think that some of the original ships were named after the Founding Fathers?
Oh, that could very well be. I mean, they might
you
be
know,
named.
Because they're in Yorktown is the space,
Yorktown.
And the USS
mm-hmm.
Franklin, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm just... You know, someone was listening to Hamilton when they were writing this.
Yeah, exactly,
just saying.
Right?
Just saying, even though Franklin's not in it at all.
Looking at
but
you.
There is a Battle of Yorktown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, that's interesting. I don't know. That might be where it comes from.
Yeah. Somebody write in and tell me, because I'm not...
I was wondering when I was watching it if those were names of... If that was the name of an actual, you know, ship from an earlier show, or something that was referenced in an earlier show. You know?
Oh, yeah, like Section 31 from Into Darkness, stuff like that. Yeah.
If it was something that like people would be like, oh, yeah, that's an actual like real one. But I'm using my one look up right now. It doesn't look like that is... necessarily from
ST other, video game Starfleet Command 3. The vessel was succeeded named by a Defiance class USS Franklin. So it appeared in a video game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a comic book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But not the same ship.
And the Next Generation Officer's Manual.
But this is a different ship. This is what it looks like. It's Enterprise subclass. It looks like...
But it's still like the USS Franklin. So
the name existed.
So he took the name, but not the design of the ship.
Not the design, yeah.
Okay. I liked it. The ship kind of reminded me almost of like the Star Trek way. I mean, the Star Wars way of doing things, like lived in and gritty and kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
It almost had like a Millennium Falcon vibe
to it, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually kind of reminded me of like the bridge of that. The Franklin kind of reminded me of the original Enterprise from
Cardboard Walls.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. Or the Enterprise A even a little bit. Yeah.
All right. While we're on that bridge. The dirt bike was out of place, right?
That was just an excuse to get him riding a dirt bike.
Yeah, like, which I mean, like, he rode a motorcycle in the first film.
That's the only reason why.
That's all well and fine. He rode a classic car in the first one. Yeah. Like, that's all well and fine. It just, like, that scene just felt weird to me.
It was a little out of place, and it was, like, when he was like, oh, wow, like, my dad had one of these. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah. I was thinking about my dad, you know, earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
When
exactly.
we stole from Chekhov.
Right.
I'm the captain.
I am the captain now.
Of the USS Enterprise. Yeah, I am the captain now. He is always the captain. So we learn through the course of the film. I'm going to skip forward because we're running
long
way out of time.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we Krall is one of the original captains of Starfleet because he was part of the military before, and then it was disbanded, and in Starfleet form, they gave him a captain's chair and a ship, and they were like, go to space. Mm-hmm. And he felt that Starfleet deserted them, even though they had no idea that he was stuck. And so he was branded a hero and written history books, and this whole time he's like, I will come back and destroy Starfleet. Kind of classic. Do you feel like it was a waste of Idris Elba?
No. No. Remember we were talking a few episodes ago about like, oh, you know, when they don't show a character's face or an actor's face and they feel like, oh, we got Idris Elba, so we should show his face or whatever. It made sense to me that like, okay, he found some technology where he gets to live longer and part of that means he has to look different.
Right.
So at the end when then he was like sucking the life out of people and so he could look like himself again.
Yeah.
A little bit like himself again. You know, that felt like Spider-Man's mask coming off or Iron Man's mask opening up or whatever.
Yeah, but he never really looked like Idris Elba.
Never really looked like
human just in Idris Elba. Just in the video. Yeah.
Like the surveillance footage and stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. It didn't bother me.
No, it didn't bother me either.
But
he probably made that character a little more memorable because he's a good actor. Like,
yeah,
it might have fallen to poop in a lesser actor's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But Star Trek's villains are not always the most memorable. I guess that's also not the point.
Yeah.
I mean, like, name me some really good Star Trek villains besides Khan.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. You could name, like, races if you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
That's but, not like, the same.
But most people don't really remember...
That's not the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's
maybe
the Klingons.
Right,
it's,
exactly. Yeah. So in some way, that's why I felt like it's kind of a waste of a really good actor. But in some ways, then it's also sometimes they don't want to be part of a franchise. They just want to come in and be like, I'll do the one movie and that'll be fun and then I'll leave.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yeah. So, and I like Idris Elba, so I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I really liked their uniform updates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really liked
those. Because before it always looked, they were kind of wearing like, loose Under Armour or something, and they were like, I'm ready to go to space, I've got my long sleeve, did we talk about this already, got my long sleeve t-shirt on,
right
I think we've talked about this a couple weeks ago, I can't, no we definitely
we touched
did.
On it yeah.
But this one, they were like, it felt like a Starfleet uniform.
It did, especially when they crash landed and then they were like, oh, gotta change my crash landing uniform now.
Yeah, right. Got to change to sell the toys
okay,
or whatever.
Cool. Yeah. Got to change.
But I liked all of those uniforms.
That reminded me a little bit of, you know, when in the original series cast movies, when they like the uniforms evolve and stuff, it reminded me of that. It's like, oh, it's been a couple of years. The uniforms are evolving now. It was a, yeah, you saw it going in that direction. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I was never a fan of the original cast movie uniforms. I always thought they looked kind of dumb.
They all looked the same, and they were, and it was very much like, oh, it's 70s now, so they should look like the 70s.
Yeah, I never liked them.
Me neither,
I did love the picture, though, when Spock opens Ambassador Spock's box, and you see all of them. Spock's box. That was a really nice touch that I wasn't expecting.
I got a little clumped.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's like in Doctor Who when you see like all the doctors together, like flashbacks and stuff.
A thing that I'd watch. Yeah, I know, absolutely.
It's more for the audience than it's for you.
Yeah, I know.
Or at the end of Day of the Doctor when you see literally all the doctors together and it's like, oh, they're all together. They're standing all together. It's just so cool.
Yeah, I understand.
It was just like, they're there. They're all there. Like, it's, I know them.
You were there. And you were there.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the hell you are.
And, you know, I had this really dumb moment, which I'm willing to admit on the podcast, where I was like, but they don't look like the same. They don't look like the, I mean, this is the old cast. And I was like, oh, wait, but if Leonard Nimoy is the older version of Zachary Quinto, then they're all just, never mind.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like them 40 years from now, 30 years from now.
This whole thought process happened in, like, you know, a nanosecond.
Yeah, right. But they don't look like they do. That's because they're different actors. That's because it's 30 years later. God, I'm good.
Got it. They age into them. Got it.
Yes, they age into them.
Like, I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had a dumb moment. So.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I wonder if that moment hits when, if you don't know what the original cast looks like at all.
I think it has to.
Because like he opens up, like, if someone's like, "Who is that?"
If for no other reason than you see Spock, and if you've, I mean, you saw Ambassador Spock at the beginning of the movie, so you see him there.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
And then you see, like, you know, an Asian person, an African American woman, like, okay, it's got to come together,
no,
right?
You're,
like,
yeah, I would hope, but none of them have a mustache.
Whatever, like, you know,
I know. Yeah.
I think it comes together.
Yeah, I would hope
so. Scotty got really fat.
he's not that big.
Yeah, but it was a really touching moment for me. As somebody who likes those movies a lot.
Do you notice that Simon Pegg called Jayla Lassie like a lot?
Yeah,
a lot.
Well, Scotty did that a lot.
Yeah, but he hasn't in the past two movies.
Well, he's growing into it.
Yeah, it was just like, but it was like twice in one scene, and then the next scene she runs out and he's like, she's lost people too, Captain. And
he
goes after, he's like, listen, Lassie. And I'm like, stop, she has a name, people are gonna think that her name is Lassie.
Like the dog.
Yeah, right. Just like, I get it, he said it a lot, but you could say it less, it's okay.
Yeah, didn't bother me. I noticed it, but it didn't bother me.
Sulu's husband and daughter,
it was a lot more understated than it sounded like it would be. Because all this controversy with George Takei not liking it and this stuff. Like,
I don't think I would have noticed.
So John Cho said that they did shoot
a kiss
and stuff. And actually, the actor who played his husband.
So one of the writers, right?
One of the writers is also straight, and John Cho is straight.
Right.
And so it was like, you know, they both had to like get into the acting space of being able to do this. And they spent a lot of time and effort doing this, and then it got cut from the movie. So they were a little bit like, we kind of wanted that to be in there because it was like meaningful to us, but
we love each other now,
right? But you know what, I there's something to be said for the way that it's not really spoken about, because in this time in the future it's not a big deal,
it's not a thing, nobody cares.
It's not a thing, it's not something that anyone dwells on. It's just
it's almost just like,
would you dwell on it if you saw somebody with their husband and wife, like what they're trying to, you wouldn't dwell on it.
It's just whether it's a husband or a wife, it's just character development for him.
Right.
It's understated.
Here's
character
his
development.
Family.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Somebody wrote, they said, I don't have a problem with Sulu being gay. I have a problem with Sulu having a family and signing up for a 5-year mission.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And I said, and I was like, that's a good point, but there are a lot of people in the military who do that. You know, like they do tours and, you know, all that stuff. I don't think, and they're in Yorktown, which means that they probably go back to Yorktown more than they would. So I get the problem with it, but I think it is what the world is then and is now.
Right.
So, whatever. Do you have anything else to add about the film?
This was just a really fun kind of return to form. It was Into Darkness was, you know, not as fun as I'd hoped it would be.
It still has its moments, though. Don't think it's not a bad movie way that people say it is.
It's not at all. I don't think it's a bad movie. I own it and I watch it from time to time and I enjoy it. But I will now, I think, now that there are three of them, soon to be four, I think I will enjoy watching them as a trilogy while it's only three of them. And I will enjoy sort of like, I'll watch the first one and I'll love the hell out of that one for the 51st time.
Right.
And then I'll see the second one and I'll be like, okay, this is the one that I have to sit through so that I can get to the third one, which is fun again.
Yeah.
and I think that's kind of how it's going to be for me.
Somebody said that you could skip Into Darkness. You could watch Star Trek and then Star Trek Beyond.
And I feel like there might be times where I'll do that.
They don't mention anything in Star Trek Beyond. There's nothing in the film because even Carol Marcus isn't in the film.
You're right.
So there's
no mention of her is either.
No. So you because the first movie ends like they're going to go out into their 5-year mission, and the second movie starts and they're not, and it's weird because you said that they were going to.
Right.
And so you could skip Into Darkness, and you would be fine. You're not missing
it.
It's like you can start the original films with Wrath of Khan. And you're fine.
Which I often do.
You do not need to watch Star Trek The Motionless Picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slow motion picture.
Very, very often start with Wrath of Khan, even skip Search for Spock, and then go straight to Star Trek IV, which is just a hoot and a half. I love that movie.
Mm.
I love Star Trek IV.
Many people do.
It's the most fun original Star Trek movie.
Yeah, it's almost... Wrath of Khan is almost like Empire Strikes Back in a way that it's like, maybe it's the best, but it's not the one I want to watch when I have a good time.
Star Trek 4 is just the most fun.
Right, yeah.
Captain, there be whales here.
It's so dumb.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
I'm not saying it's not.
It is.
But it's dumb. But Star Trek is dumb. Just like all things that we love. At the base of it, it's dumb.
Yeah.
You know.
But The Voyage Home is it's got a special place for me. I saw it as a young age, and it was a ton of fun.
Well, double dumbass on you. That's the one directed by Nimoy, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I think he directed a second one, too.
Yeah, he directed two of them, and that's why Shatner was like, it's in our contract, we have to be treated equal, so I need to direct a movie.
Yeah, right.
And you directed the worst one. Although the opening scene of his film
is
really good. Yeah. And then it just, as soon as they go into space, it just topples. It just falls off that mountain he's climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever.
I like the hiking stuff, though.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited for Star Trek 4. Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto are already signed on.
Good.
And so others, I'm sure, will be close behind.
I just can't imagine not doing these movies with Carl Urban or with any of them, really. You know, if
it's tough.
If any of them are like, no, I'm not coming back, that would be really, really hard. It'd be a big blow.
They're going to have to recast, though. You can't... Spock and Kirk are essential, but like... You need bones. You can, especially with Anton Yelchin passing away.
Him, they're not recasting,
right? But I feel like that's one of the characters. Like you can't get away with not having Sulu at the helm.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, but you also can't really get away with recasting him, which is why it's hard. Because like you can get away with not having Anton Yelchin there because like his character. Wasn't in the first season of the show.
Right.
Didn't exist for the first season of the show. In fact, in Wrath of Khan, when it's like, oh, I never forget a face. Like, you never met him in the episode you were in. He wasn't in the show at that point.
He's just making stuff up. It's fine.
He's making stuff up. But anyway. I do hope that they can get everyone together for at least one more. If we saw them in the middle of their mission now, maybe the next one will be the end of the 5-year mission.
Star Trek 4, Father's Day, which is actually Star Trek 11?
No, this is like 15. Or like...
I think 11 was... Next gen, right? Yeah.
I think 11 was
6, 10, Star Trek 2009. So Star Trek 14.
14.
It's probably... Well, I mean, if we're calling 1 is good, 2 is bad, 3 is good, 4 probably going to be bad.
Even numbers are good, so 14 would be good.
No, but... And no, if even numbers were good... Until the reboot.
Oh, you're
now
right.
Odd numbers are good.
Oh, shoot. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. They...
Yeah.
Oh, they broke it.
The reboot.
They broke it. 11 and 13 are the good ones.
Right, because it's the reboot. So now it's the opposite. Yeah.
So
now it's the odd numbers. So 1 and 3. And now I'm sure it'll be fine. Chris Hemsworth is back as George Kirk. Why would you not want to see that?
You're right.
Chris Hemsworth is in a movie. Why would you not want to see that?
Chris Hemsworth.
Why would you not want to see that?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I like better playing the saxophone or listening to the saxophone?
All right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, Ghostbusters.
Great,
yeah,
it's
okay.
A great joke.
You're done. Yeah. That's it. All right, let's move on. Let's get it now. Points for you. Four for you, Glenn Coco.
Four for you.
All right. Where can people find us on the galactic internet?
They can find us on Beer with Geeks on Facebook, Twitter, and Gmail. You can rate and review us on iTunes, Satchel, Overcast, Google Play, and all places that are sold. 4 and 5 stars really helps us.
Yes, it does.
Tweeting at us is also the best way to reach us.
Yes, it is.
And so, because the Facebook gets checked very seldomly, and the Gmail gets checked also seldomly.
Actually, that's not true. Gmail I check all the time.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Frank checks all the things.
Email us.
Yeah. And so, actually, I get updates on the Facebook, you know, like, someone says, check out your page, someone says, your page, you know, I get those a lot. I rarely, like, go to them because it's not like, someone says, commented on your page, it's,
right,
you know, it's a lot of likes. So, like. But anyway, so, those are all the things, and you can find us in a galaxy far, far away next time. Can I end a Star Trek podcast on a Star Wars thing?
That's probably heresy, but we'll allow it.
You can live long and prosper. All right.
Live long and podcast.
Cheers.